playing this song, not because it's someone who wrote this's birthday, because it's Boomer Harvey's birthday, and according to the birthday bulletin, it says, AFL player with North Melbourne, Boomer, or Pipes as they now call him, holds the record for most matches played by an individual in AFL history, 432 in brackets.
Under threat.
Breaking Michael Tuck's previous record in 2016. He played North's 1999 Premiership team. He retired, kicking up a fuss and throwing a tantrum at the end of 2016. That's what it says. Boomer Harvey for the Friday Footy Preview. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you, mate. 28 today, so it's 38 today, so it's getting a little bit old.
Congratulations, 38 again for the fifth time. That's fantastic stuff.
Yes, exactly right. Driving in, I did hear you speak about the gentleman who kicked 32.
Yes.
34 goals.
32.
Didn't get the best player.
Yep.
Second best.
Quick story, under 15s. Young fella named Boomer playing.
give us a spell.
Needed 15 in the last round to win the goal kicking. I kicked 21 in that day. Best and fairest, but comp night. Last round, I was behind by 2 votes.
Oh.
Come to our game, last round. Beautiful, I'm going to win the 3. Get the 3, obviously. Win the best in comp. 2 votes, B. Harvey.
You didn't get the 3 for 21.
Your mate, Frankie Razzo, ended up at Collingwood for a couple of years. Yeah. Got the 3 votes.
Well, when you're hungry, trying to kick 21 goals.
I wasn't hungry. Clearly I just had a good day.
You needed 15 to win the goal kicking. You got hungry.
Started on the ball, kicked 7 in the first quarter half.
So this is
I can't remember the day, but I kicked 7, 4, 2 and 8, but I can't remember it.
23
really well.
Years ago, and clearly he's got over it.
So what age group was this?
Oh, I think it was 15s.
15s, you kicked 21. No, you should get the 3 when you kick 21 in the 15.
What at 34? He's didn't give the best.
Steve Mitchell.
I had a bit of a chuckle because it brought back some memories for me.
And it cost you the medal too, the league medal.
Oh, no.
That's stiff.
Diamond
but Frankie Razzo, one of the greats.
You wouldn't have wanted to share it anyway. You would have wanted it outright.
100%.
Frankie's making pools these days, I think.
He is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Doing good things.
Doing really good things.
Captain of the mighty Preston Footy Club on Northern
Good Northern Knights boy.
Yep. Great man. Great man. Now, what's been happening your week, Boomer?
What have we done?
you got a team to choose from this week?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
What do you mean?
You got 14 on your injury list. 14 players,
yeah,
Boomer.
It's big, actually.
How are we getting through this at the Kangaroos?
We're getting through because we've got 23 players. He did throw my name up yesterday in the match committee, but I think it might have been a bit of a joke, unfortunately.
I'm not so sure about that.
It's tough. It's actually tough because not only, I think I mentioned it last week, not only we've got a lot of injuries, but we've got some good key injuries to our back line, which is pivotal to how we go about our football. But our reserve, or our VFL development last week finished with 17 on the field as well. So we've got 3 listed players to choose from in our VFL team.
Wow. 3.
Jeez, how are those 3 players feel?
Yeah. We're bringing kids over from Tassie to play, and it's not great because they're not training with us. So we're getting belted in the VFL, unfortunately, but there's a valid reason for that as
so
well.
So David Noble mentioned Trent Dumont yesterday in his press conference and said he's probably going to have to play, but he's not ready to play yet.
Yep. He played
a couple of weeks back in the twos.
He's played in the twos 50% game time the first week, and then last week upped the ante a little bit more. I think ideally they would probably want to play him in the VFL one more week, but unfortunately, or fortunately for Trent, he's probably going to play this week in the senior. So he's a good player. He works super hard. So he's done his rehab and he's the best trainer at the football club.
So it does create a lot of problems, that level of injury at a footy club, because we all always think immediately of players available for the game.
Yep.
But for training, you've got no one out there on the track. You can't do your match sim properly and all that sort of stuff.
No, well, normally you play like a 16 on 16 in season, so you got 32 to choose from. I think the other day we had 24 running around on the park.
That changes
a bit
the dynamic
of play
training.
12 on 12.
More importantly, are you getting any of those players back in the coming, let's call it month?
We should be getting him back in about 3 weeks, but there's none. There's not too many short term. Like I don't think there's one that's next week comes back in. I don't think there is any of them. There might be one, but I'm not too sure. But they're all about 3 or 4 weeks away. So it's going to be a tough little month for us to get through just that injury part.
Is Robbie Tarrant getting closer?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Taz is. He's probably the one that's not too far off.
Could you play in the VFL? Are you able to play because you're still playing suburban football?
Yeah, I actually don't know.
Like to help out in the
I help out at training every now and then. Not so much this year, but last year.
Would you put your hand up to say, look, you know, if you need to play in the seconds, you'd play?
No.
He doesn't play seconds, mate. Yeah.
So what's happening now with that, Whitey, is
so where do the players come from?
They're allowed to come from the NAB League.
Yeah.
Right.
You can go and get those kids and have a look at some of those kids that you potentially may draft. And
so they do they all feed to a certain club, or you just
it's zone now. But if those kids, so for instance, if somebody's in the Western Bulldogs zone, but the Western Bulldogs haven't asked them to play VFL, we could go and get them and say, "Can you play VFL with us?" Last week, young Jackson Archer. Yes. Glenn Archer's boy, because he's Northern Knights' father's son.
Yep.
So he's allowed to play.
Okay.
He played last week with us. But the rest of our boys, we're zoned down Tasmania. So we've been flying young kids in from Tassie.
When you were playing in the NAB League half, all those years, well, which was called the TAC Cup.
TAC Cup, yep.
Did you play reserves football in your top age year?
No, they shut that down. I reckon they did. They played the first couple of years they did. They had the supplementary list of guys would go up. I don't think we had any guys go up.
Well, I definitely played.
We had for
Hawthorn and for Collingwood.
When I was at North Melbourne, we definitely had young kids coming up and playing.
When I was at Essendon, we still had him. We had Paul Chapman.
Did you get drafted in bottom age though, half? Would you bottom age?
Yeah, I had another year to go. Yeah
so you wouldn't have been allowed to play.
That's right. Yeah,
you wouldn't have been allowed to play.
No, that's right.
You're such a child prodigy that you got drafted early.
Darren Jarman.
Shout out, beauties.
Hey, so Rama, probably it's a question for you, putting your manager's hat on. Because there's been talk about list sizes needing to be increased because they were decreased through COVID and all that sort of thing. And there's even been talk that they should go further down. Is this proof that it can't or that it needs to go up? Or is it an illustration that this is a great opportunity for those emerging players to actually get some experience in topping up?
Well, it definitely proves it can't go down. Because, you know, if they want it to go down, if, say, there was 30, they were spoken about last year that they wanted a list size of 32 or 34.
Yeah.
If that was the case right now at North Melbourne, they wouldn't be able to field a team.
No, we wouldn't be.
They'd be choosing from 20 players.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a disaster. So, but on the other hand, I love the idea of those NAB League players.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Getting the opportunity to play in the reserves.
So they had that sup list there for a while as well. I mean, is that something that they could potentially look at again?
One of the great stories of the sup list was my great friend Stevie Milne. We were short of players in the pre-season match in the reserves, and I said to Adrian Dodoro, give him a call. And Stevie jumped in the car, and 2 hours later he was at the ground, and he played, and the rest is history. He goes on to play nearly 300 games for St Kilda.
It's a touch wood that this doesn't happen, but if Kangaroos got 3 or 4 more injuries this week, we would actually have to request, can one of our VFL-listed players come up and
play? I don't think... They wouldn't allow that.
Well, what would you play with 21 players or 22 and no sub?
The problem, it's the contracting side of things. That's
they
where
couldn't
the
leave
issue.
A club short, though,
you can't,
because
can't
of rotations.
I don't think they can because of the integrity of the competition.
They would have to, it's never happened before,
no.
I wouldn't have thought.
No.
They would have to tweak the rule for a week. It would have to be special, wouldn't it?
Well, what
surely.
What would they do?
Well, they've never had a situation like that ever, but
gonna have to.
I don't think they would. Oh, Hang on a minute. You always say, oh, that's list management. Your list is your list.
Yeah.
You always say that.
Yeah.
So your list is your list.
That's different, don't worry.
Yeah, I think that's a bit different when you run out of players.
It's an unusual occurrence to run out of players, Rama, in fairness. Well, I'm with you. He does say your list is part of the art of it. I maintain it.
But injuries can't have the art of the fact that they're...
The North Melbourne play...
But that's the art of preparing your players. That's all there.
You make sure you draft players that have drunk their milk so they don't break bones.
Absolutely.
Collision injuries are a touch more difficult to predict.
North Melbourne run out against Hawthorn 19-23.
No, I get where you're coming from, but I don't... See how what you're saying, you can then go and say to a VFL player, you're now on an AFL list.
No, I think it would be a 1 week contract of some sort.
Geez, that opens Pandora's box.
Well, speaking of contracts and windows and all that sort of stuff, the mid-season draft's coming up.
It is.
And there's a dude, they reckon, in the NAB League, Jacob Edwards, this big ruck. Do you know much about this guy, Rimmer?
Yep.
Looks like the Kangaroos might be interested in this fella. They'll get first crack at him. He nominated for the draft last year, was overlooked. Apparently things have blossomed, and he's really blossomed this year in the NAB League. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a situation now, not so much getting someone for the back end of the year just to plug a hole, that this is a guy that they'd probably take in the top 10 or 20 in the draft anyway, so you can get him for mid-season draft without even trying. Is that what's happening with this fella?
Yeah, potentially. There's a couple of ruckmen in this draft that I know clubs will definitely. Edwards is one. Ned Moyle's another one from Oakley Chargers. So Edwards is still going to school at Mentone Grammar. So whoever takes him is going to have to consider that. But
so he was overlooked last year in last year's draft?
Well, he hadn't played a game of NAB League.
So how old is he?
He's a 19-year-old.
Right.
So he hadn't played because he's still developing. And now, obviously, in the early part of the season, yeah, no doubt he's blossomed. But, yeah, he's still going to school. So, like, for example, if an interstate club took him, say it wasn't North Melbourne, for example, I think he would stay in Victoria and finish his year 12. So
does he want to go in this mid-season draft?
I think so.
He's happy to go.
But, I think there'll be a couple of ruckmen taken by clubs, and then you'll wonder through the sample and the waffle, those players there.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that for the mid-season draft. Jacob Edwards might be some news leading into that.
I think your reputation's always on the line when you play, but to be exposed on Friday night, everybody watches Friday night footy, so they'll be having a look how the Saints, are they progressing, where are they at? That's the challenge we'll have. So I think there'll be some pressure on us as a group.
That's the challenge, says Brett Ratton, when you take on the Cats. It's Friday night footy and it's big business and everyone is watching. So they'll be certainly on notice tonight for that game. And we're looking forward to it too. Off the SMS, I said last week, says an SMSer, that Dougal Howe is one of the best backmen in the competition. He's on that list too. It's gone from 5 to 6 real quick. Dougal Howe's a gun, mate. Don't look at me like that, Rammer. No. Respect him. Respect him. He's a gun. Yep.
He's in that group. My word he is.
You watch him.
Second key defender.
Behind who?
No, if you're playing the Australian team, he'd be the second. He wouldn't necessarily be the number one. He'd be the number two.
I don't know.
Well, we'll find
out
tonight, won't
we?
Well, there we go. Great lead-in from you, Boomer. That's why you're on the big bucks. Now, just by the way, where are the teams in the paper?
Yeah. No, that's next week.
Weren't we promised teams at round 9?
No, next week.
Why?
The decision's been made, and then they're giving clubs a week to transition.
Why?
A transition week.
Don't ask me. Very, how hard is it to name a team?
I would have thought it would be quite easy. But
well, they've named tonight's teams. I can tell you this. We've got Frawley, Highmore and Ross coming in for the Saints. Caulfield, Jones, just awareness, I think. Joyce and Wood on the way out, Ski there. And at this stage, Simpson out for the Cats. So no changes as yet, really, for the Cats.
Was that Zach Jones
out? Zach Jones out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big.
Quaddy awareness, which required surgery.
Awareness.
Yeah, because it required surgery because it ripped off the bone. So he won't play for the rest of the year, you wouldn't think, Zach Jones, or close enough there too. So, Boomer, that being said, let's get into that game. Marvel Stadium tonight. St Kilda have been one of those teams that's been up and down a little bit. We spoke to Aaron Hamill yesterday, and he feels it's started to turn a little bit for the Saints. But Geelong are coming off one of the most clinical performances we've seen.
They are, and it's a little bit scary to be brutally honest with you, Daniel, for me. We've seen the big boys kick 15 between them last week. Or Chuck, not Rowan's not a big boy, but he's add that to the list because I think he's a really, really good player. Now, important player because that tall slash on the ground player, and he's going to be hard to match up on. The question for me, Ken, and you mentioned Howard, and this is why I had it written down, but Howard, Frawley and Wilkie, can they maintain them three? 15 goals last week. I know Richmond's defence wasn't as good as it should be because Grimes is their marshal down there, or their captain down there, and he sets everything up. So it was a massive out for them last week. But I love what Geelong's doing. I think Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins are that cream on top. They're both very, very classy. I wouldn't say outside players because Higgins can go inside and win the ball as well, but he's got polish.
But they're great finishes, aren't
they? He kicks goals. We've seen Isaac Smith kick two last week. Higgins won. But the rise of Guthrie and Duncan, and I say rise, they've been very good players for a very long time, but we always just thought Ablett, Dangerfield, Selwood.
Selwood, yeah.
Now it's the Guthrie, Duncans and Menegolas that are doing the job and getting the job done more consistently. So I think Geelong are a really scary proposition now. I know they didn't start the season the way they would have liked to, but they're just getting their mojo together, and that's scary for opposition. St Kilda, I don't think St Kilda can win for the simple reason. Carlisle, Hanbury, Gresham, Geary, Jones, these type of players are out of their best 22. But, yeah, it's going to be big for Howard and Frawley tonight, and Wilkie as well.
So where can they win it, Rammer? Where can St Kilda win this game? Because Boomer paints a pretty brutal picture when you're talking about the Cats and what their capabilities are, and we saw that firsthand last week against the Tigers. Where can St Kilda, if you're Brett Ratton and the coaching staff and the match committee, how are you planning on defeating Geelong tonight? What are you taking away and what are you using as your asset?
By completely slowing Geelong down, because we've spoken about this so many times on a Monday morning with Jimmy about when Geelong play slow, they're quite easy to play against, and they don't score.
Yep.
When they play in a quick up-tempo, pressure style of game, they score really, really quickly. Obviously, the West Coast and Richmond games are perfect examples of that. St Kilda need to play a counter-attacking game today. Sit back, pressure, 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 as soon as the turnover, and go. Obviously, at Marvel Stadium, a faster deck, they're going to try to use their leg speed as much as they possibly can tonight. Now, the interesting part tonight is if you look at St Kilda's forward line as named in the paper, Membry, Marshall, King, Butler, Battle, Higgins. So Butler and Higgins are the two that have got to cause problems tonight. Geelong don't necessarily have a small defender. They use Buse a lot. They even Stewart plays sometimes as that smaller type of defender. Those two have got to cause havoc tonight. They've got to hit the scoreboard. They've got to be 3-4 goals each tonight, I think, to give themselves a chance. Because we know Geelong are such a good defensive team. Structurally, they're as good as anybody over the past 15 years, the way they set up the field. So I look at tonight's game as try slow Geelong down as much as you can if you're St Kilda. Make him go back into that chip game where you can defend the ground quite easily against them, and then counterattack. Soon as the ball turns over, it's all systems go.
Butler hasn't had a great start. He's kicked 8 goals.
Last couple of weeks been okay.
Once he cut his mullet off, he got going.
So he's kicked 8 goals from 8 games for a player of his caliber who had an outstanding year last year.
Yep.
I think it's just below par for him. I say that because I agree with Ramo in terms of those smalls at St Kilda need to do some damage on the scoreboard for them to have any chance of winning.
The big issue tonight, Whitey, I think for St Kilda is Geelong's midfield and the size of them. Like we saw last week against probably an inexperienced Richmond midfield in the end, obviously with the injuries they had, Edwards going down, that they were charging through in the end. Just charging through tackles, charging through the middle of the ground with brute force. So I think that's the concern because St Kilda don't have a big midfield.
And that's why Zach Jones will hurt.
Yes, correct.
Because he's actually getting a lot of the footy and it's taking the pressure off Steele and Crouch to be that big ball. When a Seb Ross back helps, I think St Kilda, it sort of offsets to a point Jones being out of the side. I think the reality for this game for me is the fact that if you look at the last 4 times these two sides have played, Geelong's won really, really easily. And I can't see that being any different based on the evidence of what we've seen from St Kilda over the last month and what we've seen over Geelong in the last month. So while St Kilda have won their last 2 games, they coughed and spluttered their way over the line against the Suns. You know, it was Hawthorn the week before. They did what they had to do, but I just it worries me against a really good team, which is what Geelong is.
What are you doing with your matchups tonight if you're St Kilda key defenders? Who goes to Hawkins? Who goes to Cameron? Who goes to Rowan?
Well, it's a juggle, isn't it, for them? Well,
actually, that's why Frawley's come back into the team.
He has to play on one of them, and Howard's the other.
I think Frawley goes to Hawkins.
Yeah, he's played on him many times before.
Yeah.
Howard most likely
plays on Cameron.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
But Cameron's then probably got him for speed. And I think Wilkie will go to Rowan.
Yep.
That seems the most natural matchup.
The other thing I wanted to mention just briefly is, interestingly, that Nick Caulfield got dropped.
Mm. Yeah.
That's surprising.
A bit of an odd one.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's been going really well, but he was going really well last year. And I think he was, you know, you just think he's a selection every time.
No gimmies, mate. There's no gimmies out there. None of the good clubs, they don't do gimmies, Boomer.
They don't. Don't give away games of AFL football, Whitey.
No.
You know that.
Which they do.
which, of course, they do every week. But they tell us they don't. It's a fascinating contest. I think the ruck division is going to be really important tonight.
Yeah, well, that's St Kilda's big chance, isn't it?
Marshall and Ryder, that's their chance to get some ascendancy, some field position, and put some pressure on the Cats that way. I think Geelong can cause a neutral in that part of the ground. I think it's going to be an easy victory.
Well, Radaglia and Blitzar's played that role last week.
But Blitzar's going to be... The thing about St Kilda is they stretch you defensively with their height. They've got a few big blokes you've got to take care of.
And usually one of their ruckmen go forward in Ryder.
Yeah,
and Marshall,
that's right. So Marshall's and there. And Membry's are tall, even though he's mobile.
Henderson, Blitzarves, Henry, Stewart.
I reckon
they're pretty covered.
So we talked about this a little bit on the Footy Fix with Gareth yesterday. We're trying to work out who the premiership favourites are. Based on what we've seen from Geelong in what they did against West Coast, which you were there, Rammer, to see that, and then what they did on the weekend against Richmond, are they the ones to beat? because premiership markets say they're $6.50, about fourth or fifth pick. Now, we're all frustrated by Geelong in the first month of the season, but based on, because I'll go first and say, I'll argue that Geelong's best is the best. And we've seen a bit of it in the last 3 weeks to think, geez, and that could only potentially get better because Dangerfield hasn't been playing. Are they the team to beat?
They're one of them. I'm still on Port. I haven't seen too many reasons to work out why Port isn't.
Well, I'll give you a reason. Because they got thumped by Brisbane and West Coast in the contest away from home.
I'm not too stressed about that.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah.
Boys, Rammer, Boomer?
I think Port are big danger. They finish in the top four. They get those home finals. And they're going to be really hard to beat in Adelaide. I still really rate the Western Bulldogs. I love a team of midfielders, and that's what Western Bulldogs are putting together. On their day, when they throw the ball around and get the ball forward, now that they've got some really potent forwards up forward, I think Western Bulldogs can do some real damage. And I'm a bit concerned about them, but I'm with you, Whitey. I think Geelong, you look at their structure of their team, you add Dangerfield to that, their mid's good, their backs are really good, and now they've got some potency up forward.
And they're prepared to move it quicker to get to that potency.
And why wouldn't you, if you've got Hawkins and Cameron sitting up there? I think they're going to be hard to beat as well.
I think Geelong and Melbourne should be sitting equal.
How did I forget Melbourne?
Right at the moment.
How did I forget Melbourne?
Because you don't rate them.
Is garbage. I rate them unbelievably.
Yeah, Geelong's best looks like the best at the moment, but I think Melbourne's balance across the field at the moment is probably the best. You look at how they've structured up defence, midfield and forward, they've got multiple options. Like Jack Viney's still to come back into the Melbourne team. That adds that edge of hardness come a final series. They look primed, the D's.
Can you write off the Tigers?
No, absolutely not. But you can write off the Tigers without those seven premiership players.
But they get those seven players back come September.
None of them for the year.
No.
And this is the thing about the Cats, that they're playing some really slick footy at the minute. They look great.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could argue with that. But there's 14 games to go.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not prepared to be just writing my ticket at the moment.
No, absolutely.
But they're a serious contender.
But if I was...
It's a really good fight. It's a good race. It's probably one of the most open races for a premiership in quite some time.
Spot on. I think it's a really deep race. I think the final series is probably down to 9.
Yep.
Probably. But still 7-8 chances to win the premiership.
I agree with what Boomer's saying about the Bulldogs. My only one concern on the Bulldogs is that other key defender.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
And my concern on Port Adelaide is when Dersmer and Butters come back in for X Factor and excitement.
Butters had another setback.
Yeah, a little one. Yep, so that's my concern there. But, I think...
There's so much a better team in Adelaide as well.
No doubt.
And that's where they've got to finish. They've got to finish in that top echelon to get those finals.
And they're not there yet.
We'll see. Who wins tonight, St Kilda and Geelong? Anyone tipping the Saints?
No.
It's at Marvel, is it?
Yeah. It's at Marvel, yes.
Geelong don't play Marvel super well, but I think they win.
Well, they're a better team than St Kilda just at the moment. Jono's tipping the Cats as well, so we're all on the Cats on that game. A couple of other key games for the weekend. I think Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs is clearly one of those. We've spoken about it a bit through the week. We don't know the squads at the moment, of course, because they're not in the paper. But what we do know is Adelaide Oval Saturday night. We spoke with the Bond on...
Yeah, we did.
Was it yesterday or Wednesday? Wednesday, was wrong. He was up and about. They're feeling pretty good about their world. I rate Port Adelaide. Everyone else rates the Bulldogs, so as do I. What do you make of this one, Remo?
See, we rate both of these teams, but who's the game more about? Is it more about the Bulldogs going over to Adelaide, going into state, getting a scalp? Or is it more about Port Adelaide defending their home territory against a really good team?
I think it's more about the Bulldogs, because I think if they go over there and win that, you're going, yep,
yes,
they're the main, they're the real deal. Yep. Yep. Whereas Port Adelaide's like, yep, they're at home, but their tests will come when they have to do it away from home against a good team.
Couldn't agree more with Whitey.
Yep.
All right, who wins that one?
That's a tough one.
Well, don't we go in order?
I want to go to the big games first, and we'll go back to the other one.
I will select in that game.
I love how you do this.
The Western Bulldogs.
Oi, Bulldogs. Boomer.
Wow.
Come on, Whitey.
I'm going to go Port.
Port for Boomer.
Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide for me. And
I think their forward line will worry Bulldogs.
No doubt.
Jono has selected the Western Bulldogs, unsurprisingly. The other game of that night, Saturday night, is interesting too. Before we get to the break and come back and go through the Friday face-off and the rest of the tips and all that sort of stuff, is Richmond the West GWS. It's Marvel Stadium. Benny Gale's not happy about that. He wants out. And back page story on the paper today. The fans don't like it, but they'll get a chance to be in good conditions.
It makes no sense, that game being...
Well, it's a contract. It's just part of the contract. That's the only sense it makes. It's been signed off on.
But the MCG's a home ground.
My understanding is with you on that. So it's the same. Essendon, Hawthorn play games at Marvel. It's Collingwood play a game at Marvel. Richmond play. So all these MCG tenants play games. It's part of their contract. This is not news to these clubs. So why it happens, I don't know, but they signed off on it.
Part of West Coast contract to play one of their home games.
I don't know, mate. I'm just telling you what the contract says that they signed.
Okay.
So it's a one-off.
That's fine. No dramas.
No big issue.
I'm selecting...
But it's 8v9. Yeah. Richmond, again, without key players.
I'm Showbolton, selecting the Giants.
You're selecting the Giants?
Yeah, I'm going straight into this.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. I'm straight into this. I'm selecting the Giants.
Selecting the Giants.
And that's on the... I think their form's been pretty good.
Shane Edwards out.
Ramon's really hot. Yeah. Now, slices. He's
now this is...
Have you been licking that ice cream?
I'm looking at the league at the clock for when Whitey and I exit.
where are we going, Ramon?
I hate you both. Shut up, Whitey. I know the teams are not in the paper, but you mentioned a couple of big outs there.
Yeah.
Edwards and Bolton.
Yeah.
On the back of that,
they might get Grimes back in.
Yeah, not a midfielder. Defender. I agree with Adam there, and I'm going to go with the Giants.
Giants, Whitey, who wins?
I'm not really sure, but I'm going to go with Richmond because I think their system will mean that the Giants will struggle to score. They'll score a little bit, but they won't score as many.
Who
as
comes
Richmond.
In? Who comes in the Richmond to cover?
Grimes. So their defence will pretty much be.
Yeah, but Hugo Ralph Smith's coming in for his first game, I believe, for Richmond. So they're going to have a young midfield.
Yeah, they're midfield, going to have a very young. And the Giants' midfield is going very well. I understand all of that, but I'm backing Richmond's defence and also Richmond's forward line and their system.
The fast track, Marvel Stadium, I think should suit.
Giants don't play well there.
Thanks.
I'm Timmy Richmond.
Okay.
I'm with you, Whitey. I'm yet to be prepared to write them off, and particularly in Victoria still.
Scotty from Tigerland will be happy about that.
No, he'll be upset because he wants us to tip against them so that they win and he gives it to us on a Monday morning. I think the Tigers can win. I'm not off yet. I'm not off just yet. If they lose this, I might be off for a little while. All right, we'll get to a break. We'll come back, go through the other games on the weekend and get the Friday face-off as well. If you haven't registered for that, just by the way, you need to do that. rsn.net.au. Chance to be a part of some shenanigans on a Friday morning with some great prizes as well. Who's got the category this week?
Who won?
Did you win, Rammer?
Come on.
Who won? You did too. Pick nine and got the Friday face-off. It was almost the Kevin perfect Guthrie. Weekend.
Guthrie.
So what's the category?
I'll let you know after the break.
Fit.
Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Nice to have you with us, 26 past 8 on a Friday morning. Boomer Harvey Pipes with us in the Friday footy preview. The AFL Games record holder, Blue Eyes, not too far away on Racing Pulse.
I think it's worth mentioning, just for everyone listening, there has been no locally acquired cases of coronavirus in the last 24 hours through 22,000 tests.
Fantastic.
So that is good news. Hoping that
How can we just go over that today, not yesterday and the day before?
Well, because I think everyone's been a bit anxious.
Public service announcement.
Yeah.
But where was it yesterday?
We also failed to mention that Caleb Ewan won the stages of the Euro issue. And also, we should probably mention while we're doing a bit of housekeeping that Liverpool defeated Manchester United 4-2 at Old Trafford. Which is good news for Liverpool because it puts them still in that chance for top four. Not so good for a couple of other clubs.
I think that's Jurgen's first victory at Old Trafford at Liverpool.
Right.
I think that is correct. All right, let's go through the remaining games for the weekend. Sydney and Collingwood, the SCG tomorrow, 1:45, Rammer.
Sydney.
Boomer.
Where at?
SCG.
Sydney.
I'm going with Sydney, but I give Collingwood a bit of a chance.
Okay, that's not really important, though.
I don't like those butts.
These little caveats he gives us. I'm with the Swans as well. Hawthorn and your boys, Boomer, down at UTAS Stadium in Launceston. I know who you'll be tipping. Whitey.
Hawthorn.
Rammer.
Mighty fighting.
Do it, Rammer. Do it, Huff.
Yeah, I don't think you got no players, mate.
You got nobody.
Hawthorn can
this
win.
This is the Josh Gibson Cup, the Jason Delonchenko Cup.
Alex Oshenko's coming back in.
There is plenty of these people that went from North Melbourne to Hawthorn or Hawthorn to North Melbourne. Did it yesterday.
Jay Rawlings, Johnny Hay, Nathan Thompson, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yes. There's your era. There's
Josh Gibson.
We just said that, mate. Listen.
I'm just saying it again.
Gold Coast and Brisbane Lions in the Q Clash at Metricon, 4:35 tomorrow, Remmer.
Lions.
Lions.
Brisbane.
Brisbane for me in that one. We've done Richmond and the Giants. Port Adelaide and Bulldogs we've done. Essendon and Dockers is on Sunday, the first game at Marvel Stadium. Boomer, who wins this one?
Essendon.
Whitey?
Essendon.
Bombers.
Essendon for me in that one as well. Melbourne and Carlton, the MCG. Anyone tipping the Blues?
Nope.
No.
And then West Coast hosting the Adelaide Crows up to Stadium 440.
No Taylor Walker for the Crows.
It'd be difficult for them to kick a score. West Coast all for all of us?
The Eagles.
Don't think Taylor Walker's making much of a difference in that one. They've actually got to get down there.
It doesn't matter. They're goal-kicking power. Like Mick Adams out of the team, so...
Yeah. So, Jono, just for reference for all our listeners, he's selected pretty much all the ones we've listed. He's tipped North to defeat Hawthorn.
Smart man, though. Knows his footy.
Does he realise they've got no players?
I'm not sure he actually understands the game.
Only played 380 games. They got no idea, Jono.
Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
Certainly is. It's always swimming there. $100 Riviera's voucher and a Bataki hamper as well for our winner of the Friday face-off. Register the website rsn.net.au. I get to go first today.
What's
and
the
category again was?
What's the score first?
You're 17. We're a long way off. That's in short.
Yeah, but you know what Rammer is? Rammer's that bike rider that's gone way in front. We're in the peloton.
Yeah. I'm about 8 minutes ahead.
We know we're going to get you. It's just a question of when.
Okay. The category tonight will be handballs.
Handballs.
Yeah. We play football, but we'll take handballs.
All right. Geelong St Kilda handballs tonight at Marvel Stadium. I get to go first. Owen Coulson from Cheltenham is going to be very, very pleased about that because we'll be walking away with the winner, and he with the hamper and the voucher from Riberas because Cam Guthrie is going to get the most handballs tonight. Looking forward to see Cam go berserk with his handball game today. Thank you very much.
Averaging 15, Cam Guthrie.
Thank you very much. Whitey, you're playing for Sam Greenwald from Balaclava. Who's going to be handling the ball a lot?
It's 2 weeks in a row that I haven't been able to get Cam Guthrie because... Anyway. I'm going to go...
There's his butt again, see?
...with Brad Crouch, our man from the Inner Sanctum.
Good idea. Good idea. I like that selection from you. Brad Crouch for Sam and Whitey. Boomer... You've got Richard Newbold from Footscray, your fellow contestant this week.
I actually wanted to go Crouch. Why did you say? There's my butt.
There's the butt.
I'm going to go with Steele.
Jack Steele.
Jack Steele.
The skipper. Jack Steele for Boomer and Richard from Footscray. And a rammer as the carryover champ from last week, Mark Berinato, is your man this morning from Forest Hill. Who are you selecting?
We'll take the captain of the Geelong Cats, Joel Selwood, who's in sparkling form.
He's got an issue with his hand.
Yeah,
can't have about that.
You know how tough that man is?
Yeah, I know.
You know how tough he is?
He'll play, but I think he'll have to kick it a lot.
He is so tough.
So Darren Mullane stuff, like real broken thumb sort of stuff.
He's on a mission, Joel Selwood, this season.
He actually is playing very well at the moment.
He's playing terrific footy.
Good luck to all of our contestants for the Friday face-off. Great prizes up for grabs. That register, as I said, at the website rsn.net.au. Boomer, you going to Tassie tomorrow or today?
Tomorrow. The AFL have changed it now, so travel anything under 2 hours, you travel up the day of the game.
Which is exactly what it should be for a trip to Tasmania. Absolutely no point in going the night before.